And we are back. I'm sticking around for a little bit longer because I think it's we are cusping on a very interesting discussion here in a matter of moments. It is 9:04 on a Monday here on the Michigan Insider. It's MLK Day on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com, live from the Suburban Chevy Cadillac Saab Studios, and brought to you by the Conference Center at Eagle Crest Resort and Minor Mechanical for your heating and cooling needs. As they're playing the highlights from yesterday's Jets-Patriots game. Just a great game. Not as good as the one between the Steelers and Ravens, though. But I only mentioned that because my man, Ira, he just, you know, he got jobbed. His team just choked it.
No, they didn't get jobbed. They choked.
They choked. Up in the third. I'm talking about you individually
as a
fan.
As a fan,
you got jobbed because your team was up by two touchdowns.
Because they'd have a home – because we'd have – we, I should say we. They'd have a home playoff game on Sunday against the Jets.
Yeah, and it just so happens that you're in a house with a Steelers fan.
And said she has – and let's just get – let me make this point before we continue. I'd like to say that to all the other Steelers fans, including my wife, all Steelers fans not named Debbie Williams-Hoke, I appreciate how you treated me after the game. Most, of course, you don't even know me, so you ignore me. But Debbie didn't even wait 3 minutes for the end of the game. She called me, didn't answer the phone. It went to voicemail. Debbie – I wavered for a second or two, but don't worry, we're not going to discontinue our participation and adopt the family because of your phone call, but it wasn't that well received. My wife liked it. I didn't like it.
9:05 on a Monday from the NFL Talk, we shift to college, and we're joined now by mvictors.com's Greg Dooley. If you've never checked out the site, it's unique in what it presents, historical perspective on Michigan sports. It also taps the consciousness of the current Michigan fan and what they're thinking. And I think this is in part what this piece that you penned called Clans and the Factions Define. I think it does sort of the same thing here, Greg. I think it's an outstanding piece. And I think as we go through the discussion, as I was saying to you before we came on here, everyone listening, I think, will be able to put themselves into one of these categories.
I think so. And Sam asked me about, you know, why I did this, and All of us as Michigan fans and that serious group, we people ask us, well, what do the fans think? You know, what are the fans saying? And I always struggled with that question because who we are to me is obviously there's so many different groups of people that we are. It's been a national talk radio topic, the factions, the toxic factions and divisions. So I took a run at trying to put that pen to paper and got some help from my buddy Craig at Hoover Street Rag and my friend Lou, and that's what we did here. So,
but very clear to you, because we've actually heard people kind of say, hey, there are no real factions. There are real factions, aren't there?
For sure. And you know, you're exposed to them. Being around the program a little bit like I am, I'm certainly exposed to them. Listening to you guys talk about some of the things you say and on the radio, you know that they absolutely exist. They absolutely do exist.
All right, so let's start off. Give me the breakdown. What are the categories that fans could be put into?
Okay, well, I'll net it out for you, and you can check out the whole thing on MVictors. And so what we came up with was there was a Bo clan, which is basically Bo players, or those fans who most closely associate themselves with Coach Schembechler or in that era. People who remember meeting Bo when they were little, you hear about them all the time. The people in the media who played for Bo in that era. Then we kind of go into what I call the rebellion, and I cringe when people just use the term blogger generically, but I call this the blogger, the folks who live and die on the message boards, the recruitniks, if you will, Sam, very statistically focused, very heavy recruiting focused, thought that at the end of the Carr era, they were very frustrated with his kind of style offense. Okay, so that's kind of the second, what we call the rebellion. Then there's a small group that we call the Corduroy Jacket with Patch Clan, and those are the NRB elite, people who are not listening to this show right now, people who have their noses deep into the Ann Arbor Observer, and or work for the university, who really don't like football, and kind of laugh at, cringe at all the cars being parked on the lawns of their neighbors and that kind of thing. So then we have the In Rod We Trusted group, and obviously these are the folks who still can't get over the fact that Rich Rodriguez was let go, feel it was absolutely a mistake, don't understand, you know, how Brady Hoke is a better option than Rich Rod to this day. The last man, if I may paraphrase something I read on MGO blog, on Rodriguez Hill, if you will. So, okay. Then you've got, I guess the fifth group here is the Lloyd Loyalists. And these, of course, are the people associated with Lloyd Carr, Braylon Edwards, who likes to remind us of that when they show him on before games. And really feel that Lloyd Carr's legacy was unfairly represented. The people, that they get most of that feedback from are from what I call the rebellion and the rich rod people. The people thought that really at the end of Lloyd's tenure, it was a problem. And not only that, they suspect that Lloyd has been messing with Rodriguez, mm-hmm. and are bitter toward that. Then you've got maybe my favorite group, the Cotton Pickin' Blues, named after Bob Ufer's frequent use of that phrase. This is the biggest group of Michigan fans, and really beyond sanctions and embarrassment, they are on board with the program. However, this past year, the games against our rivals, the Michigan State game was the start of it, the Iowa game, Wisconsin game, Ohio State game, and especially the bowl loss, put them over the edge. And that's when Rich Rod lost the majority, I think, of the support. So then we walk through, and we have a small group that a lot of people, I think, that I associate with personally seem to have migrated to what we call the fierce pragmatists.
That's the group I'm in.
Okay. That's where Sam lands.
That's where I'm.
And I think that's the group that both of us are in. So maybe it's not 1% anymore.
Well, I hear that. Okay. And so the one thing I'm trying to do is I try to separate myself from the people that I associate with who are in that serious fans group. And I'm hearing a lot of that. So maybe it's ticking up a little bit, right? I said it was about 1%.
So you can't be a serious fan but be a fierce pragmatist at the same time?
You can. You absolutely can. And again, Ira kind of broke this down a little earlier, but there's an 80-10-10-ish split. 80% are casual fans, 10 are serious, and then 10% are obsessives. It's kind of the 40,000-foot view of Michigan fans. So the pragmatists, who are these people? I think these are the people that realize it was probably the best thing to do from a football perspective to keep Rich Rod around and would have been satisfied with that, but realized that maybe not Rodriguez personally, as Ira pointed out to me, but the man and the program itself under his regime had become toxic. Mm-hmm. And they're going to support Coach Hoke, I think, is what's going to happen here. But they realized that it was time for a change. But I think if you ask those people, their preference would have been to keep Rich Rodriguez. Okay. Then the last couple groups here, the Second Estate, and this is another one that my buddy Craig Barker, the Hoover Street Rag, threw in here, and he's absolutely right. Like the Second Estate of pre-revolutionary France, I think Craig's a history teacher. This is the rich and powerful group, the Champions Lot, Victor's Lot, Parkers, the people who behind the strings pull, you know, we suspect pull a lot of the strings. Mm-hmm. Don't want to be embarrassed. And finally, another one by Craig. This is great. The Decatur Clan, named after Captain Stephen Decatur of the U.S. Navy. And these people are loyal, perhaps to a fault. They were with Rodriguez last week. They're buying Hokamaniac T-shirts. If I joke, if Mike DeBoard were hired, they'd be buying DeBoard's De Dudes T-shirts right now. And they would be 100%. If there's any part of them that doesn't feel that way, they would never tell you. They are loyal, loyal, loyal.
Yeah, that's the Decatur group. If you go to invictors.com, you can find the pie chart where, you know, the percentages are assigned and more detailed explanations about what they're all about. Here's what I know. So we're talking to Greg Dooley from invictors.com. This is a fragmented group. How do you defrag this? How do you make these slices, these mini slices of pie, how do you make them one big pie again?
Let me ask you, how fragmented is Auburn right now?
They aren't at all.
Why?
They won.
How many?
Because they paid for a quarterback and won. Let's clarify this. They paid for a quarterback and they won.
Let's hope that's not the answer. But we all know what happened. And Gene Chizik's name has come up quite a bit. But it's a relevant point. It's salient. The athletic director, I believe, was getting harassed at the airport when he came back when they hired Chizik. And you need to win. And people forget about some of their old alliances, I think. And suddenly those alliances get steered toward the current regime when that regime is winning.
Well, Greg, as you well know, all these different categories. There's, I think, nine of them, right? You break these, there's nine categories. If in 2 years, Denard wins the Heisman as a senior and Hoke takes them to the national championship game, all nine of these groups are going to be folded into Hokemaniacs.
Yeah, it's going to be the 10th group. Very well. And you know what? There's always people who are never going to be satisfied. But I think that would go a long way to uniting the clans, if you will, which is, and maybe guys, maybe talking about the clans is maybe a step forward to figuring out who we are and realizing who we are and where our allegiances are. Maybe it's a step toward getting us closer together. Well, I don't know.
You know, the amazing thing to me, more so than anything else, I mean, fans can be very fickle. I mean, they can be very with the times, but only recently have we seen a real divide amongst former players. And now you can, now there's a demarcation line, if you will, between the family and the fraternity of Michigan players. Now you have Lloyd guys and Bo guys, but before it was just guys, just former Michigan players.
Now, and Sam, you have a lot of connections. You tell me, is there a Bo clan or not? Were there Bo people who contacted you?
Well, here's what I'll say about that. I think it is unfair to say that everyone that played for Bo feels a certain way, or everyone that played for Lloyd feels a certain way. I do think that the discontent that exists amongst the former player fraternity, however much of that there is, does come from guys that played during the Bo regime, during the Bo era.
Yep.
That doesn't mean that all those guys feel that way, only that those that have, who take issue with it, played, those that do play during that time.
Absolutely. I mean, Rick Leach, big Rich Rod supporter, Bo guy. You know, there are these relationships here. Dave Brandon played for Bo, okay?
Mm-hmm. Which is proof positive that not all right. Bo guys obviously felt that way. But, hey, Rick, I haven't talked to Rick Leach. Yeah, you know, he's not one that's contacted me about it, but there have been a number of others that have. But then I've talked to a lot of, I grew up, my formative years were during the Bo era. I went to school with a lot of guys that played for Lloyd Carr. I mean, those are like I have a lot of friends that played on those teams. So, I mean, the idea of choosing just is, I can't do it. I'm not going to choose sides, especially in a fight I don't have a dog in. I don't have a dog in that fight.
This is like when you have friends that you, like, say, Greg, you had two friends that they met each other in college. You were really good friends with both of them. They get married. Then they get a divorce. How do you choose which side? You were equally really good friends with both of them. And then they became a couple, so it was very easy to be friends with them. So what do you do if they get divorced? How do you pick a side one way or the other?